You're listening to Insight on Capital Public Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. A new book titled Eagle and Crane might make your summer reading list for a few reasons. By the way, it should make your summer reading list. It's a historical mystery set in Newcastle and many California towns that you might know are mentioned. The story unfolds in the early 1940s, just after the Great Depression, but before and during the earliest time of the Japanese internment and around the of course, the time of the bombing of Pearl Harbor. The storyline centers around people in a traveling air show, a barnstormer show, as it was called then. And when a crash happens, we become connected to the law enforcement types who come in to investigate. This is the third novel by Suzanne Rendell, who grew up in Sacramento. She is the author of Three Martini Lunch and The Other Typist. Suzanne will be at Face in a Book in El Dorado Hills tonight at 6:30. And I'm so happy that she's here in the studio with us now. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So congratulations on your success as a writer.
Thank you so much.
And with that, I have to talk about The Other Typist first, because how many languages has it been translated now into?
I think we're at 15 right now.
And the actress Keira Knightley had optioned this to be both producer and to star in the story. I haven't seen an update recently, so what's happening in the pipeline of moving that story along?
Yeah, so Keira Knightley optioned it in conjunction with Fox Searchlight Pictures. And recently, in fact, the previous summer, they went ahead, renewed the option, and Ridley Scott's production company, Scott Free Films, has joined on. So now it's Fox Searchlight, Keira Knightley, and Scott Free Films, and they hired a screenwriter. So I'm actually very eager to read a screenplay and find out what happens in the film version, if it's the same as the book or not.
How did your writing career take shape here? Did you go to high school in Sacramento?
I did. I went to two high schools, Valley High in Sacramento in the Elk Grove School District, mm-hmm. and then Del Oro when my parents moved up to the Rockland area. I always loved writing and books. I didn't honestly think, though, that that would be a viable career. I was looking for something that, I don't know, had health insurance and regular hours. And so
you were a young person already thinking about that.
Well, I think my parents were thinking about that for me.
Responsible.
So, yeah, I didn't necessarily set out on this path, but as I gravitated towards books and literature time and time again, it led me down the road to get my PhD, which I recently completed, and then to work in publishing for a little while in New York. And I think probably working in publishing is when I started to really get the idea of like what writing a book looked like, what the shape of a book was like, and what it took to sit down and write a book. And then from there, I got lucky and got my first book contract, and I've really been, you know, in love with this job ever since.
Well, readers were in love with The Other Typist. That was the first one. And it's set in the 1920s. I recall an interview when you said you sort of heard the narrator's voice and the story unfolded as you listened to that lead character's voice. So let's talk now about Eagle and Crane. Did it evolve the same way? Did you hear a voice?
A little different, because The Other Typist is a very first-person novel, and the main character, her first-person voice is a little unreliable. So as I was writing that one, I was more curious to find out where she was going. Mm-hmm. I felt like she was leading me through the plot. Eagle and Crane is a little different. It's told in the third person, and part of that reason is because it takes on several different characters. And as well as, like, one of the main characters is Lewis Thorne, the all-American sort of boy from Newcastle.
He's the eagle.
He's the eagle of Eagle and Crane. The other character, main character, is Harry Yamada, and the Yamadas are a Japanese family. And I was more interested in being able to move between these perspectives and also maybe a little cautious to speak in the first person for the Yamada family.
So Harry is Crane in mm-hmm. Eagle and Crane. You come at this with some interesting family history, which includes Barbara Matsui. We heard in the show earlier from Doris Matsui.
Right.
And Barbara is her sister-in-law, actually.
That's correct, yes. She was an inspiration to me. My mother was friends with Barbara when they were young women. And she was probably my favorite of my mother's friends. I loved spending time with her. As a child, it was difficult not to notice the fact that Barbara was legally blind. And when I asked my mother why Barbara was legally blind, she explained to me that Barbara had been born in one of the internment camps, actually at Tule Lake, I believe. And while pregnant, her mother didn't have access to great health care in the camps, and the conditions in the camps led to her contracting German measles. And the German measles is why Barbara was born legally blind. And I think that left an impression on me as a young child to try to fathom that these camps had actually happened, and they'd happened here in California, and they'd affected people that I knew and loved. So that impression led me to kind of revisit it when I came to write this story, and I was trying to write a very Northern California story. Mm. I realized that this was part of that story.
That combined with a lot of aviation history, your grandfather, your father, your mother. So weave some of that in, and then we'll come back around to the storyline of Eagle and Crane.
So the aviation history. Well, my grandfather was a flight instructor for World War II pilots. And then my father was an Air Force captain, and he flew F-111s. And then my mother, I suppose she figured that if her father could do it and her husband could do it, then why not her? And she took flying lessons and got her wings. So I come from a family of aviators, and I was taken to quite a lot of air shows as a child. What's interesting is the fact that I have a fear of flying.
Oh, you do?
Yes.
Okay, well, that's written a little bit into the storyline of one of the characters, too.
That part was a little easier to write, the character with a fear of flying. I definitely, if that's genetic, the aviation gene, I didn't get that. But I'm definitely interested in it, and I was interested in this period of history leading up to when the book takes place, the teens and the 20s leading up through the 30s, when people would put on these great barnstorming acts and have flying circuses, and the stuntmen would go wing walking, and it just sounded incredible and sort of nostalgic.
Now we're coming to all the mystery and thrill of Eagle and Crane, because the backdrop is very serious and it is historical, and you had to do a lot of research to put this very structured but twisting, turning, full of great character story into this book. So do you want to give a little more of the overall synopsis?
Sure. Yeah. So as you already mentioned, the title, Eagle and Crane, is named for the two main characters. They are Lewis Thorne and Harry Yamada, and they're basically performing stunts in this flying circus act. And pilots tend to give each other nicknames or call signs. And in the course of the novel, the pilots kind of give Lewis and Harry a couple of nicknames that have slightly racist tones. The pilots dub Lewis Eagle, as in the All-American Eagle, and they dub Harry Crane, thinking the crane is a very Japanese bird. But instead of resisting these nicknames, Lewis and Harry actually embrace them, and they use the Eagle and Crane theme to put on a more spectacular costumed choreographed show. And it starts doing very well. In fact, they garner interest from Hollywood. But then, as this does take place during the late 30s and early 40s, the bombing of Pearl Harbor interrupts everything. And Harry Yamada and his family are basically obligated to go into an internment camp. And a lot of Japanese families who were interned sometimes looked for a friend they could sign their property over to hold for them. And in this case, the Yamada family, they look to Lewis to act as the guardian of their land as they go into internment. And part of the mystery that you mention is sort of the question of how good of a friend Lewis is to Harry, and exactly what will shape up as the Yamadas go through this darker period in their lives, and Lewis sort of holds more of the power.
I like the complication and the weight of them trying to navigate their relationship, which sometimes is a friendship, sometimes not, and very heavily influenced by each of their families.
Yeah, it's sort of the fox and the hound model of friendship, right, as I like to think of it. The Thorne family has carried a grudge against the Yamada family, particularly of the Yamada family's prosperity. And so Louis has actually been raised to avoid Harry. They made friends as young children, and Louis's family was not having it. So the friendship that they forge later in life as young men and in the course of this book is sort of a push-pull. It's very fraught, and they're both competitive as well as maybe friends underneath it all.
You're listening to Suzanne Rendell. She has a new historical mystery titled Eagle and Crane. She's going to be at Face in a Book in El Dorado Hills outside of Sacramento tonight at 6:30. She grew up in Sacramento, as you heard her say, moved to New York, and now you're back, at least in Northern California.
We're now back in San Francisco.
Why is it important to you that people hold present the era that your book was written in? And some of the history that is true.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because when I started writing this book, I mean, it takes a while to write a book and for a book to go through the publishing process. And when I started writing this book, the political climate was very different. Obama was still in office, and some of the recent immigration politics hadn't yet transpired. And so as I was editing it, some of these things started taking shape, the more current events that you might be referencing. And so it began to take on a different feel for me as I wrote it. I remember in the beginning worrying about writing the scenes in the Japanese internment camps and worrying about trying to make that immediate enough for my reader and felt enough for my reader. I was worried they might not be able to connect with it. And as sort of recent events have unfolded, I feel like there's so much of a parallel there for a reader to now feel is very palpable.
Well, you've accomplished a couple things here. It's a fast and satisfying read. The structure is great. The characters are clear. And I say put it on the summer reading list because even though your themes and your history are heavy, there is a lightness. There is an air show, barnstormer quality to it. And I think it's a good reminder of a different time, a different place. And I'm really happy to meet you. I'm sorry we haven't met with your previous books, but let's do this again with the next one.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Suzanne. Again, Suzanne Rendell will be at Face in a Book in El Dorado Hills tonight at 6:30. The new book is Eagle and Crane, and there's more at capradio.org/insight. That's Insight for today. I'm Beth Ruriak. NPR's special coverage begins tonight at 6 p.m. Our producers are Jen Picard, Cody Drabble, and Bert Johnson. Our technical director is Mark Jones, and Insight's executive producer is Joe Barr. We're back with another live show tomorrow. Thanks for joining us.